Silver Lining, written by Philomatha, read by Jebilet. Alice was exhausted. She'd been up most of the night, first waiting for Ivan to get back from his friend's party, then, when he returned alarmingly drunk, looking after him. She hoped it had at least been an educational experience for him, but it worried her. Perhaps if she'd remarried, Vortain maybe, or Luke Vorkaliner, he would be less wild. She'd tried discussing it casually with Natasha Vorvain, whose son was Ivan's age, but Natasha had merely laughed and said that they had to start trying out how to be men someday. And she couldn't ask Cordelia, because with Miles away on Beta, she was constantly in the district, raising living standards to something a bit closer to halfway acceptable, as she had tartly put it. Alice had managed to snatch a few hours' sleep when Ivan finally stopped throwing up and babbling nonsense and trying to demonstrate new dance steps and falling over, but nowhere near enough. She'd been put to quite a bit of work with her makeup to disguise the dark shadows beneath her eyes. With such an inauspicious start, Alice supposed her day had been doomed. Nothing had fitted her properly at the early morning trying on with Estelle, and Estelle's new girl had pricked her 5 times with pins. The Tau Ceton ambassador had spent 20 minutes straight complaining about being seated next to the Baton ambassador, who he said had been flirting with him. Alice's new driver from IMSEC had evidently failed to pay attention to the traffic briefing and had managed to get her stuck in the redevelopment works in the Russian quarter, making her late for the meeting with the new Minister of Terraforming and his wife. The rest of the day followed that pattern, and by evening, Alice's temper was in shreds, she had a thundering headache, and another 4 hours of Imperial reception to get through. So, inevitably, the guest of honor mentioned 2 serious food allergies and a violent aversion to vat-grown meat in conversation 30 minutes before the meal. Alice sent urgent instructions to the kitchens, then had to listen to Gregor's head chef rant for 10 minutes in a profanity-laden mixture of French and colloquial Greek, and calm him down before he made his 5th resignation threat of the year. The Batons griped about the security measures that meant they'd had to go through 2 sets of scanners and blamed her when an IMSEC man had confiscated an unknown drug that was apparently perfectly legal on Beta Colony from an aide's purse. And during the dancing, Captain Emil Vormenkrief, 3 sheets to the wind, tried repeatedly to get a hand into her bodice, and none of Alice's usual defensive strategies for this flavor of Vor male activity worked as well as she would have liked. There was very little left of her nerves when the last dragging guest finally went out. And then, Simon appeared at her elbow. "My lady, we need to plan the time for the next full dress security drill." "Never," Alice snapped. A vivid memory of the last time Simon had pulled a security drill during a reception, racing through her aching head. "We are never, never going to do that again, and I'm not going to discuss it." Simon blinked and took a step backwards. "My lady." "No," Alice repeated. Simon looked baffled by her vehemence, and that just made her angrier, until her entire day's pent-up frustration burst into speech. "My son is running wild, and nobody in the city appears to be capable of looking after themselves and enduring a little discomfort without shrieking at me for help. And your new driver is incompetent, and I have a splitting headache, and I am going to go and sleep for 12 hours without anyone asking me for anything." Simon stood still for a moment, visibly considering and discarding a number of responses before saying, "Would you rather I call for your car right away, or would you like to step into my office and sit down for a minute first?" Alice nearly snarled at him again for such presumption, but his expression, mostly bland but with a hint of concern beneath, broke her anger. She tried to glare, and Simon looked back without moving. "Your office," she said at last. Simon extended an arm, and Alice let herself lean on him, suddenly so tired she could barely hold her head up. Simon saw her to a comfortable wing chair, and a few moments later, with a perhaps excusable air of a man laying down a winning hand of cards, presented her with a glass of water and a packet of painkillers. He said nothing for the 3 minutes it took the pills to start to work, and the daggers in Alice's head shrank to pins, and then to nothing. "Better?" he said. "I could kiss you," Alice said, a little indiscreetly. Simon's expression barely flickered, then settled on a polite, amused smile at the jest. "Thank you." She paused. "I'm not saying I'm happy to discuss security drills right now, mind you." "No," Simon agreed. "No business. But if there is any way I can be of service..." "You can get Emil Vormenkrief out of town," Alice said, still a little euphoric from the relief of pain. "He's a public menace." Simon frowned, and she saw his face turn blank as he searched through his mental recording of the reception. "I see," he said a moment later, his voice carefully neutral. His eyes were hard. "Does that sort of thing happen often?" "Less and less as I get older," Alice said, with a shrug. "You try and keep the younger girls away from the worst offenders, of course." "I see," he repeated grimly. "I can get rid of him for you, if you like." She blinked, not quite sure what he meant. "Get rid of him?" Simon's eyes glinted. "Well, there are several dozen easy ways to arrange a light flyer accident, if you really want, but I was actually thinking of giving Major Reynolds a nod to reassign him to Sector 4. He's a supply officer, and I happen to know they require another one at our post there. 6 weeks' travel time, just to get there." Alice couldn't quite prevent a small, satisfied smile from escaping. "He won't trouble you again, nor any other lady here, for a long time." He smiled in return. "Anyone else you'd like reassigned?" "That'll do for now." His intent eyes were worrying her, despite the lightness of his tone. They couldn't. Simon watched her for another moment, then subsided. "Very well. Shall I call your car now?" "Please." The relief from her headache was making her sleepy, so much so that she would have almost considered tucking up her knees and taking a nap in Simon's chair. Simon murmured an order and said, "It'll be at the portico in 3 minutes. May I see you down?" She nodded and let Simon help her up. She had stiffened after the dancing, her feet were sore, and she felt foggy and weak with exhaustion. It was annoying not being 25 any longer. Simon, after a brief hesitation, put an arm around her, and Alice permitted herself to lean into his calm support. "Ivan's being very wild," she said quietly, as they left the office. "It's worrying me so much." Simon's silence was somehow inviting, and Alice went on, "I wonder sometimes, if he had a father, he would behave better. My mother raised my brother and me on her own, and we turned out fine," Simon said. "I didn't know that," Alice said, distracted. "Well, if Ivan turns out to be a man like you, then I'll be content." They went down the staircase, and Alice said, "But he doesn't ever apply himself to anything. He's bright and courageous and strong, but he never exerts himself to show it to the world. It makes me so angry sometimes." Simon glanced sideways at her. "You're an unusually driven person, though. You remind me..." His voice slowed. "You remind me of Errol in that respect. Padma was quite different." Alice gave a laugh at that. Yes, he was. But he wasn't lazy. She smiled. I'm glad you, at least, can remember Padma well. It was her turn to give him a sidelong look. They say the dead live on in our memory of them, she said. What does that make you? Haunted, Simon said shortly. Too tired to think of a good answer to that, Alice closed her fingers around his hand. She knew how unpleasant he found the chip, and she'd asked him once why he didn't have it removed, prepared to do immediate battle on his behalf if necessary. But he'd told her Errol had offered to have it removed at the start of the Regency, and he'd refused. He'd paid for the chip, he'd said, and he'd keep the benefits. But Alice thought the price seemed terribly high. They reached the portico, and Alice's ground car was waiting. Simon opened the door for her, but Alice didn't get in. I'm sorry, she said. You can have your security drill. We can discuss that some other time, Simon said. Don't let it worry you now. Go. Have your 12 hours of unbroken sleep, my lady. Assuming nothing else interrupts me. Oh, Simon said quietly, I don't think anything will. Alice eyed him for a moment, then decided not to comment on that. He took her hand and kissed it, closed the door of the ground car, and nodded to her driver, who drove her home without incident. Whether it was chance or Simon at work, she never knew, but nothing did interrupt her sleep that night.